Number 27. And I want to continue on with what we're talking about today, what the Word of God is going forth here today. We're going to read in just a few moments from the book of Psalms, chapter 27. Turn there. Isn't it amazing, almost stupefying to our minds, how that in one minute we could be experiencing the height and ecstasy of confidence in God, and our faith can be on a pinnacle at one moment, and then the next moment can plunge precipitously into uncertainty and despair. Isn't it shocking how quick that happens? Hallelujah. And I want to tell you today, it's not unusual. Isaiah experienced this when he saw the glorious vision of Almighty God upon his throne in Isaiah chapter 6. He felt the voice of the angels shaking the ground as they boomed out incessant praise to God. But just as quickly as his elation at the awesome presence of the Holy One began to build, he was instantly deflated at the grossness that he felt toward himself and his pathetic attempts at living a righteous life before God. How many of you know what Isaiah felt like? One minute you seem like you're on the mountaintop, and can be just a second later you're in the valley. Well, you are not alone tonight. Amen. I feel for John the Baptist, who in one moment personally baptized the Holy One, the Messiah of God, and the next moment was thrown into prison to shortly have his head removed from his body. He struggled to keep what was once a blaze of confidence and faith from becoming nothing more than a small pile of dying embers. If you understand how John the Baptist felt, would you say amen tonight? I feel for the Apostle Peter, whose ardent confidence and willingness to die with Lazarus and with Jesus so quickly degenerated into an every man for himself, a will to survive. And the very night that Peter violently defended Jesus with his sword and his zeal was also the same night that he denied having anything to do with the man that he had just violently defended. If you understand how Peter felt, would you say amen with me today? I want to preach to you today about the believer's confidence. We're going to read our scripture text in a moment. The problem that believers face is not a lack of confidence, but it is a lack of understanding about how confidence works in the believer's life. It's easy to trust in God and confidently declare His promises when He's working a great victory in our lives. It's easy to be confident, amen, when His power is being actively demonstrated in our ministries and labors for Him. But when the tables are turned and things aren't going so well, and we're feeling the pinch of our personal excesses and our character flaws, then our minds want to turn the tables on us, and then those feelings of despair and defeat and failure and weakness begin to overwhelm us and throw us into a crisis of confidence. And we begin to think, am I good enough? Does God love me and still want me? Have I failed so completely that I can never experience the presence of God again? Well, hallelujah, I got good news for the church today. Hallelujah, the ancestor of Jesus Christ, King David, the man after God's heart, he wrote a song for us to deal with this problem, this crisis of confidence that we all face from time to time. David wrestled with the conundrum of an awesome, holy, powerful, loving, and forgiving God, at the same time mindful of his own horrid sins and indiscretions. Hallelujah. David's Psalms often deal with the crisis of confidence. Everybody say the crisis of confidence. Sometimes in his Psalms, he starts with the penetrating pain of his failures, but eventually he always resolves into glorious penitence and forgiveness. holiness and praise. And other times, as we will see in Psalm 27 today, King David starts with the mind-bending reality of God's providence and His goodness in his life. But then he transitions and resolves into the frightening reality of just how undeserving he is and how ferocious and violent his enemies and his problems are. Amen. But along with King David today in Psalm 27, I want to enlighten the church. I want to give you a better understanding of how your confidence works and how it works to keep you faithful and living a victorious life for God. Amen. The church, if we're going to continue in this revival, amen, and if we're going to continue to maintain, amen, and see God's glory unveiled before our eyes like we just did, then we're going to need to learn how to maintain our confidence regardless of how the pendulum may swing at any given moment or situation. And I'm here to tell you today, the pendulum will swing. The pendulum is swinging. Hallelujah. But no matter how far it swings to the left or to the right, hallelujah, we serve a God that said, I will put your sins away from me as far as the east is from the west. Chapter number 27, verses 1 through 6. What a beautiful portion of Scripture.
Yes, it
is. Yes. Hallelujah. Everybody there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say I'm not there.
I'm not there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The believer's confidence.
Yes.
David starts out, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Everybody say confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. The mountaintop. Amen. This is the confidence we have when we see just how great God is. Amen. Don't mistake what I'm about to say here as though one of these aspects of the two concerning our confidence in God is easier than the other. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever tried to climb a mountain? Amen. Well, let me just tell you, it's not easy to climb the mountain. Hallelujah. Sweat is going to be pouring down your face. Amen. Your heart is going to be beating so hard, it's going to feel like your eyes will pop out of your head, and your legs are like lead weights, and you are gasping for every breath. Hallelujah. The truth is, only a fragment of people ever make it to the mountaintop. Moses went into the mountain with his protege, Joshua, Aaron, Hur, the 70 elders, but none of the other Israelites climbed that mountain. Amen. Actually, they were desperately frightened, the Bible says, by the clouds and the lightning and the angelic trumpets that were blowing and the thundering voice of God. They said, ain't no way I'm going up in that mountain. Jesus Savior, James and John with him, up to the mountain to show them his glory. And the other disciples remained on the mountainside and in the valley. They never witnessed Jesus in this light during his ministry. Talk about confidence. Seeing Jesus in his heavenly glory. Having a conversation with Moses and the fiery prophet Elijah. Amen. We go, how can we call it epic? Look at your neighbor and say, epic. Hallelujah. If you're going to have a strong and healthy confidence, amen, you are going to have to overcome your fear and climb above the trees and the clouds and witness the magnificence of the Almighty. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus said to the people, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen. When your confidence is on the mountaintop, the world around you will be dazzled by the light of God's glory on your face. Moses came down from the mountain, the Bible says, and his face was aglow. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to experience, amen, the glow on your face of the glory of God just when you're up on that mountain. The Bible says that Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from bondage. When your confidence in God is on the mountaintop, every single last one of your enemies, whether real or imagined, are completely vanquished. Isn't it nice to be in that place? Hallelujah, where everybody's under your feet. Oh yes, hallelujah, when you're on the mountaintop, every single fear melts away. Mountaintop confidence brings in and brings a simplicity, amen, to our needs and our desires. Enemies melt away, fear melts away, and confidence rises up inside of us. Needs melt away, desires melt away, distractions melt away, as the mountaintop experience engulfs your entire being. And the only thing that you need at that moment in time is just to spend a few more minutes. I like what Peter said when Jesus was transfigured. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build some tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Hallelujah. But it was a quick experience. Hallelujah. David said, through all of these things, when I'm on the mountaintop, it simplifies what I need and what I desire. And the only request that we really have when we're on the mountaintop is, God, let me be in your presence one more time. God, let me just continue to feel this one more minute. Hallelujah. How many of you love to feel the presence of the Lord coming over your body and rising up in your soul? Stands up. When the glory of God comes on you and tears going to be like when we get to heaven. When God transforms this broken body and we are in His presence for eternity, it's going to be like that all the time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When your confidence is on the mountaintop, it is the one thing that you want more than anything else. The scripture says in, the Psalms of Asaph, Psalm chapter 84, verses 1 through 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. Isn't it wonderful when your confidence in God is on the mountaintop? The only thing you want to do is spend a few more minutes in His house. Asaph goes on in verse 10, 11, and 12 of Psalm 84. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Hallelujah. And he wraps up this little portion and he says, no good thing does he withhold from in you. Come on now, church. Hallelujah. It's that secret place. Amen. You just got to carve out a few extra minutes in the morning to get that Bible opened up and give it your undivided attention. It's that place on the mountaintop of confidence where you feel like you're going to explode. The closer church time gets, there's an expectation. There's a longing. It drives you into the prayer closet with prayer. In the believer's confidence. Theologians have argued about Psalm 27 for a while, because the second half of Psalm 27 is so divergent. It is the exact opposite of the first strophe in Psalm 27. The beginning is so euphoric. It is so climactic. It is so glorified and rarefied. Nowhere else in the Bible are there such words that are expressed by David in the first six verses of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And the theologians argue and debate how dramatically the shift is. And they say somehow these are two different psalms that if somehow somebody has put together. Hallelujah. When the argument is over, they say, nope. Somehow this is what David meant to say. Somehow this represented David's experience. In my mind, maybe one day he's in a battle and he sees things going good. Maybe one day if things are going well, the victories are happening. Kind of like when Israel went up against Jericho. Oh, they went up against the walls of Jericho and marched around those walls seven times. And the Bible says the walls fell down flat.
Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The next city they went to conquer was Ai, and it was just a little podunk town, podunk Canaanite USA. The Bible says, they said, oh, ain't no sense in everybody going up and get in trouble about this little podunk place. Let's go in there. They better be careful when they start misjudging podunk USA.
Right. Come on now.
Amen.
And they went in there and they got whooped. Right in the middle of David's exaltation. Just like in life. Just like with the believer's confidence. Just like with Job and anybody else, David swings dramatically to the other end, the opposite end of the spectrum of his confidence. And so let's call this second part of the believer's confidence the valley. Everybody say the valley.
The valley.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot of folks in the valley. That's where everybody's hanging out. And that's why I'm preaching this message to you today. Because if you're going to be in the valley all the time, you're going to have to know some things. Amen. The first part of the believer's confidence is the mountaintop. It's where we see the full vision of God's awesomeness. But the second part of the believer's confidence is triggered when we inevitably come down off that mountain and enter the valley. How many of you know that Moses went up into the mountain into the glory of God? Had lunch with God. Hallelujah. Enchiladas and burritos. I don't know what they were serving up there. Bible says they were able to look up through the floor of heaven, the clear as some kind of gem that was so refined that it was clear. See the feet of Almighty God sitting on His throne, on the floor of His throne room. And the Bible says they ate with God and fellowship with God, and the God did not lay His hand on them. But the Bible says Moses done came down off the mountain, and eventually the glory on his face faded, and he got down off the mountain and ran into some problems in the valley. Hallelujah. Down in that valley, with all of the sins and the flaws and the imperfections, what many believers miss is that their confidence does not have to take a hit.
That's right.
Confidence does not waver or wane one iota in the valley. But what confidence does is it shifts and adjusts to meet the challenges of the changes that are happening in our hearts and minds and situations. It reminds me of King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. The Bible says he was dying, he was sick, he was diseased, and there he lay on his bed, and the prophet Isaiah walked in and he says, "Well, boy, get your house in order." I don't know about you, but when a man of God walks in your house and says, "Get your house in order," that's not a good sign for you. But King Hezekiah was no slacker king. He was no lackey of the local political interests. The Bible says he was a good king. There had never been such amazing reforms, religious and spiritual, and even eclipsing, amen, the religiosity and the spirituality of King David and Solomon themselves. He was a mighty religious warrior for God, and his religious reforms had even done something that no other king could do. They had swept across the rift between the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel, and people that were God worshipers were flooding out of the northern kingdoms and down into the kingdom of Judah, because the word was out. There was revival in Jerusalem. He had faced down the Assyrian armies that had camped outside the cities. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. There's going to be times when you're having revival, when it looks like everything is going to be lost. But the Bible says Hezekiah went into the house of God and he laid the letters before God and he said, "God, what you going to do about this situation?" And God sent a mighty angel and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers with one swipe of his sword. Hezekiah was no halfwit. He was a man of God. Hallelujah. So what did he do when the glory departed? What did he do when the trouble came? What did he do when he came down inevitably off that mountain and found himself in the valley? I'll tell you what he did. He adjusted his confidence. Well, that's exciting theology. Man, that's the most powerful thing. Hallelujah. That's not exciting, is it? Hallelujah. But this is what it says he did in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 3. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Hallelujah. Well, now you know know how the rest of the story goes. Amen. The Bible says God told the prophet Isaiah to turn around before he could even get out of the king's palace. And Isaiah walked back in and he said, Hezekiah, the Lord has heard your prayer and he has given you 15 more years to live. What am I saying? Listen to what I'm preaching to you today. And believe me, we're going to get to a close in a little while. Hallelujah. But listen to what I'm preaching to you today. Hallelujah. Will you? Amen. Just be just like David's Psalms. There's going to be times of elation and deflation. There will be ups and downs of life in ministry. Hallelujah. Sometimes a believer's confidence will stand with hands upraised and revel in the victory that God has given them. And sometimes the believer's confidence will drive them into a prayer meeting with the wall. If you've ever been in a prayer meeting with the wall, can you shout hallelujah today?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But the believer's confidence can remain steadfast and sure throughout the range of our experiences. Listen to what Paul said when he was in the valley. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul has been standing and saying, I knew a man at one time. I don't know if he was in the body or I don't know if he was out of the body. Oh, but he was caught up into the third heaven. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about into the throne room in the presence of God. He saw things not worthy to be spoken out loud. Oh, he was talking about the mountaintop experience.
Amen.
Just like David in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he shifts. And he says, but a thorn in the flesh was given unto me. Hallelujah. A messenger of Satan began to beat me. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that God would take it away from me. And this is what God said to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so then Paul responded in the valley like this. Therefore, he didn't say, well, I'm going to get up and throw in the towel. He said, well, woe is me. God will heal me and take away my pain. That's not what he said. He said this, amen, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. He understood that confidence could be shifted. He understood that confidence was a universal tool that could be adjusted. He understood that there was nothing that faith and confidence and belief and hope in God could not conquer. Hallelujah. He says to the church in Philippi in chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. What was his secret? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Church, when times get tough, the tough get praying. When we're going through the valley, it's time to seek the face of God earnestly and desperately. And when we're going through the valley, even the mountaintop sometimes can be obscured from our vision. Hallelujah. But God will not forsake us in the valley. Listen to what David says as he shifts in Psalms 27. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious and answer me. You have said, seek my face. And my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me. But the Lord Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. David said in Psalm 32, 73 and verse 2, Psalm 73 and verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. You know what the most dangerous part of a mountain is? Coming down, down. Coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. Well, that's a shift. That's a different shift in application of the song, isn't it? The glory of God. When my nephew Joshua Bella was training at MCRD San Diego, and they were out there doing their training, and they had so much food, and they had to be out all the mountains in the desert for 3 days, and he had really got a horrible scab on his leg from falling up, and he said he fell on his way down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. And in Psalm 27, 7 through 12, David starts to stumble here. He's almost slipping here, but he has to catch himself and adjust his confidence. There are going to be times when our mind begins to ask questions. Like, why me, God? Where is God when I need Him? Why did God let this happen to me? What's the point? And then we can also launch off into our if-then statements. If God is for us, then instead of if God is for us, who can be against us? We get into the if God is for us, then why are all these things happening? Where is His deliverance? But the key to understanding is that confidence has not changed. The only thing that has changed is our current situation. God hasn't changed. Faith hasn't changed. The only thing that has changed is our situation. And too many believers throw the baby out with the bathwater. Too many Christians jettison their faith and their courage and their confidence and hang on to their doubts and their fears. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Hebrews 10:35, it says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. David very nearly falls into despair when he actively begins to consider his own mistakes. Can you imagine, hallelujah, your Joab is doing the battles, amen, and your estranged son Absalom is warring against you. Can you imagine the elation of knowing that you're not going to lose the war? Can you imagine the deflation, the tremendous despair of knowing that in order for that victory to happen, your son is going to be killed, and knowing that the whole thing started when you took another man's wife. And God told David, when he killed Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, he said, the sword will not depart from your house. Whoa, I mean, you talk about your confidence slipping and tripping. But then in the last two verses, in verse number 13 and 14, David adjusts. Hallelujah. He adjusts the sail. And when he adjusts the sail, Sister Judy, he sweeps all the little demons off the deck and into the water. Hallelujah. Now that may be a metaphor that not everybody can see, but it's a funny one when I think about it. Hallelujah. All you need, and the wind has changed. The waves are, that's okay. Just adjust your sails and sweep the devil off the deck and keep on sailing towards the goal, amen, of the return of Christ, amen, and you're earning the reward of taking part in the first resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. So this is how he ends the song, verse 13 and 14, and then he pivots and he says, I believe that I, look at that. Look at that. Look at that phrase that he starts in. When he pivots, he says these two words. I believe.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's too many churches throwing out their confidence. Don't throw away your confidence. Why would you do that? Hallelujah. I don't care if you're on the mountaintop or in the valley. Don't get rid of your confidence. There's a lot of things you need to be throwing overboard. Even the Apostle Paul was in the middle of a storm. It had been weeks. They had been retching over the side for weeks. Amen. They had called out to their gods. They had thrown everything that they could overboard. There's a lot of things we ought to be throwing overboard when the storm is raging. But your confidence in God is not one of them. And Paul stood out on the deck of the ship and he said, listen to me, fellow sailors and and he said, take a little food. Hallelujah. Throw everything over. And God is getting ready to work it out, and nobody's going to die. Amen. Just because you're in the valley does not mean you jettison your confidence, but you pivot, you adjust. And that's what David said. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Reminds me of Job. What did he say when he was in the trial of his life? Amen. He was wealthy. Amen. He was healthy. Hallelujah. He was, you know, hallelujah. Him and his mandrakes. Hallelujah. And he had a lot of great family. Had a great relationship with his wife. The Bible says that princes covered their mouths when he walked by. He was a mighty man in the kingdom and in that region. Hallelujah. But when he came off that mountain and found himself in the valley, he immediately began to pivot. The Lord gives. The Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And then as he went deeper in his trial, and the days grew longer and darker, he said this, though he slay me, my eyes will see him in the flesh. Hallelujah. David pivots, amen, himself back, and he gets his confidence back on track. And he said, I'm going to wait for the Lord. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to let my heart take courage, and I'm going to wait for the Lord. Reminds me of when they came, amen, in the city that they were living in, Ziklag, had been attacked by the Amalekites. His soldiers were threatening to stone him, and the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Now, Lord, I believe that we can pursue and the Lord will restore everything to us. Let's stand together. I want to ask you a question in closing. Where is your confidence at right now? When was the last time that you were on the mountaintop where God's glory is? When was the last time you've seen the awesomeness and felt the beauty of His presence? I want to invite you to come forward today, amen, or right where you're standing, and commit yourself. Hallelujah, that from this moment, I'm going to start gaining some altitude today and in the coming week. I want to start climbing my way back up into the glorious presence of the Almighty. Hallelujah, I want you to make up your mind today to do whatever it takes to get your mind and your spirit in the right kind of shape to climb that mountain with confidence.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and bow our heads right now for just a moment and meditate on these words. I also want to invite you to come forward from right where you're at.